Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for December 12, 2012. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons in Clymers, Indiana. In agricultural news, high-ranking U.S. and China officials will discuss trade issues next week in Washington, D.C. We'll have that and other stories this half hour. Also this half hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner will give us the latest on agricultural weather, and Todd Gleason will look at the European version of the Farm Bill. It's all on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
Here are your last trades for this Wednesday afternoon in Kansas City. December wheat 857 and a half, down 11 and a quarter. May 880 and three quarters, down 11 and a half. December wheat in Chicago 795, down 10 and three quarters. May 823 and a half, down 10 and a quarter. December corn 722, down 2 and a quarter. March 726 and a quarter, down 1 and three quarters. July 723 and a half, down 2 and three quarters. December of 13, 622 and a half, down 5 and a quarter. January soybeans 1474 up to March 1470, down 1 and a quarter. May 1454 and a half, down 4 and a half. July 1441 and a half, down 4 and a half. November 1319 and a half, down 2. December soybean meal 460 up $5. December soybean oil 4915 down 72. December live cattle 126.45 down 10. December feeders, make that January feeders, 152.62 and a half up 55. And December lean hogs, 82.10, unchanged on the day. And those are your last trades from Chicago and from Kansas City.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
Here's a look at meteorologist Drew Lenner's weather highlights. He says the storm system, once advertised to be significant in U.S. hard red winter wheat country for early next week, has diminished to an insignificant event. That will likely leave the central and southwestern plains still in a very serious drought with minimal amounts of relief. The weekend storm system coming out of the U.S. plains and into the Midwest will bring some rainfall of a quarter to three-quarters inch and locally more to a portion of Missouri, Illinois, and southeastern Iowa, offering a short-term increase in topsoil moisture. Meanwhile, Argentina will experience returning rainfall of significance Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Brazil will see routinely occurring rain and thunderstorms through the next 10 days. Northeastern parts of the nation will be the driest, while some interior southern areas will receive too much rain.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group in Champaign, Illinois. Good afternoon, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Dave.
I want to begin with the dollar index. Interesting trade there today in the 11 o'clock hour. It took a big 29-cent dip.
It did. And, you know, I think that that was probably very much in relation to the Fed and the Fed announcement about quantitative easing continuing and increasing actually to $45 billion. And after the Operation Twist actually expires, you know, when you look at the overall picture on the dollar, we've just basically been trading a range now. If I look at a weekly chart, you know, sitting in a very narrow range, starting all the way back in September, between that 78-70 level, you know, and the 81.5 level. And so we just keep on, we're working our way down to the bottom end of that again and doing some testing. But I do think that that was probably more of what caused that dip than anything else.
And the Fed is going to increase the sizes of its portfolio because it is not going to do any selling of bonds in this new program, only buying of bonds. And the other interesting thing that the Fed says, it is tying its interest rate policy more directly to the unemployment rate.
Well, it's true. And, you know, as long as we stay at this level above 6.5%, that's what they continue to say that they're going to continue.
Hello, Jackie. We seem to have lost Jackie Vakes from Stewart Peterson Group. Let's see if we can try and get her back here in just a minute. Having some technical issues with trying to reach Jackie Vakes. However, we do have Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is on the phone with us now. Good afternoon, Mike.
Hi there, Dave. Nice to join you.
Thanks for catching up on us on short notice. When we were talking with Jackie, we were trying to touch base on the dollar index, which had a pretty significant drop in the 11 o'clock hour, and maybe thinking it was tied to the Fed announcements.
Yeah, and I think when it relates to the grains, you're really looking and searching for something to bring the buyers back in before the holidays, before we see the slowdown. Typically what happens is the slowdown in volume and trade and just kind of a lackluster trade. The cash seasonals tend to be real good in soybeans and meal and even in the corn and in the wheat as well as we get closer to the end of the year. But some of the commodity trading funds colleagues that I've been in touch with over the past week or so have suggested they're just not really excited about the market going in the end of the year. So you're needing something like the Federal Reserve to come in and bolster the market back up again, I think.
Didn't do a lot, though, for the grain pit, per se. Pretty soft finish, especially in wheat.
Yeah, exactly. And you're on the 200-day moving average in Chicago wheat. Your Kansas City wheat led you lower. And when you were talking about the updated Drew Lerner weather update coming up shortly, I think this just speaks volumes to the trade sentiment after the USDA's report. And my take on the USDA report, globally speaking for wheat, is the USDA numbers are off. They are wrong and they don't make sense. And we can get into that more detail maybe on Friday. But for right now, the trade is having to contend with these USDA numbers. And you could see it split out pretty equally. The beans came around with the meal's help. I'm sure part of that was due to the better crush data on USDA's report. That brought the bean spread around. But wheat continued to languish. Corn was pulled in between the other two.
And when we look at the marketplace and we look at how soft it's been thus far this week, do we have any optimism that we can rally on back by the end of the week?
Well, I think that's where the December futures expiration could be a culmination of events here. We test the 200-day moving average. All of a sudden, we see the weather pattern shift to drier bias again. Kansas City wheat comes around. The big secret weapon out there to me, Dave, is the Paris milling wheat in the European market leads us out. And that's where your dollar commentary comes in. The dollar being so competitive, if the Paris wheat can go up, given our competitive nature with the currencies, I would think the Chicago would readily follow that. And that would be a real key to me saying, okay, we've got the low in place now. We've factored in the USDA report. Unless new bearish fundamentals hit us, we're probably heading higher at this stage.
We did see some tenders in the last 24 hours for U.S. wheat, but they were for relatively small amounts.
Exactly. And this is where your wheat corn spread comes into play again. We're darn near 70 cents again on Chicago wheat minus Chicago futures. That is not a good number. And so you're really attached to the hip in the wheat market if you're the corn right now, because you're getting dangerously close to losing business again in the feed wheat business. And we're starting to see that already in Japan.
In the soybean pit, not that it was a huge change, but we did note that maybe the bull spread is back a bit.
Yeah, and I think this goes back to the USDA numbers, the fact that China bought yesterday. We really couldn't trade any of that because of the overwhelmingly negative numbers in the wheat. I think the spread gave a buy signal today based upon crossing over a 10-day moving average, crossing over a resistance trend line that's been in place since the August highs in that spread. So I'd be looking for a lot more out of that spread to confirm a buy signal as we head into the end of the week. And, you know, the market has shown us wheat's back to a carrying charge, corn's back to a carrying charge, beans are the last holdout right now, and it really is up to the beans now to show its strength because, like I said, cash seasonals are friendly, meal basis is popping, crusher demand's good because crushing margins are 60 to 70 cents all the way out to July of next year. And we still haven't put to bed the South American weather. So I think, although I don't think the beans can lead the corn up like I thought it could 2, 3, 4 weeks ago because of the wheat corn spread now, I do think the beans could play a supporting role to the corn market.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Okay, Dave, have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics. He and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group out of Champaign, Illinois, your tag team analysts this afternoon on the Closing Market Report. In agricultural news, the United States will host the Chinese vice premier on December 18th and 19th for the 23rd session of the U.S.-China Joint Commission on Commerce and Trade. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack will participate in the discussions to address key agricultural trade concerns, including market access issues affecting exports of U.S. meat and poultry products, as well as horticultural products. American Petroleum Institute lawyers are continuing to urge federal courts to vacate the Environmental Protection Agency's requirement that petroleum refiners blend 8.65 million gallons of cellulosic ethanol into the nation's gasoline supply in 2012, because only 20,000 gallons of cellulosic ethanol have been produced this year, and that fuel was exported to Brazil. Over the past 2 years, petroleum refiners have been required to pay $17 million in penalties to EPA for their failure to purchase what API says is a non-existent fuel. Work to explode barge impeding rock pinnacles in the middle Mississippi River could begin as early as next week, about a month and a half earlier than first projected. U.S. Senator Roy Blunt, a Republican from Missouri, and two river industry trade groups yesterday said they were informed by the Army Corps of Engineers that blasting could start next week. Removal of the rocks is an important step in keeping the river open to barge traffic. A former employee of bankrupt MF Global Holdings Limited pleaded guilty yesterday to commodities trading violations that drove a $141 million loss for MF Global. Evan Dooley admitted to two counts of exceeding government limits on speculative commodity trading. Dooley, 44 years old, is due to be sentenced in March and faces a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison and a $1 million fine. He has also agreed to pay restitution to MF Global. OPEC oil ministers signaled today that they have agreed to stick to present output targets. The 12-nation cartel is pushing out more than 31 million barrels of oil a day. That is over 1 million barrels more than the ceiling it has previously agreed upon. That output is the highest in 4 years. The average cost of the group's oil basket, a mix of grades produced by OPEC countries, has been above $100 a barrel for the last 2 years. That's a first in OPEC history. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. Policymakers in Washington, D.C. and in Brussels, Belgium, are struggling with how to restructure agricultural support programs. Todd Gleason has more on what the European Commission is considering.
The European version of the U.S. Farm Bill is called the Common Agricultural Policy, or CAP for short. It was and remains one of the common themes that ties all European Union nations together, says Tasos Haniotis.
It has been an important issue from the beginning of the common agricultural policy, but of a completely different nature today than in the past. In the past, food security was driven by concerns in the aftermath of the Second World War and the need to increase production and cover domestic food needs. Now, Europe became a large exporter of agricultural commodities. It is a smaller exporter. It exports agricultural products of value added. It imports a lot from developing countries. So the food security debate is of a completely different nature. It is not one about whether we produce food, but about how we produce food.
Well, the focus of the CAP, says the Greek-born director of economic analysis, perspectives, and evaluations for the European Commission, is now pointing towards environmental and territorial balance. It's about land use and keeping populations in place as much as anything.
The case is such because we have seen that in the absence of a common agricultural policy, we risk concentrating production in some of the most competitive regions with more pressure on the environment, and we risk to face land abandonment in a lot of the peripheral regions with both environmental and social problems.
The current proposal for the next version of the CAP is aimed at doing what the free market doesn't do, says Haniotis. It wants to balance the free market production of a private good, food, and the production of a public good, the environment. He says the CAP would achieve this balance by introducing three new green standards.
Keeping permanent pasture land permanent for carbon sink, having a minimum three crops for diversification, and also an ecologically focused area to promote biodiversity.
Again, the three green proposals would provide incentives for keeping pasture land, for growing at least three crops on any one farm, and an ecological payment for things like grassways, riparian areas, and maintaining hedges and stone fences. The cap is under discussion right now in Brussels, Belgium. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Scott Butcher of the Andersons, and he is in Clymers, Indiana. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon.
Well, you are a grain sourcer, and one of your key jobs is to bring the grain in. I'm curious about how much grain do you think is still out there, corn in particular, and what will be the challenges at Clymers to try to source that grain now forward?
Yeah, well, I definitely think that, there is plenty out there right now. Especially right now for this time of year. I mean, we have not seen, what I would consider overabundance of movement. As we get into January, obviously that'll pick up. We'll start to see more folks, get moving. So things will get harder to come by, but really feels like we'll get into maybe February, March before we really see that happen.
And at that point, do you think there will still be grain to be had at a premium price, or will you have to take some more drastic measures, ship it in from other places?
Yeah, I definitely think there will be corn to be had out there. There seems like there were areas, to the north of us, especially northwest Indiana, actually had pretty good yields this year for all the things that we went through. There were some folks that, did able to come out, not too bad anyway. So there definitely feels like there will be corn out there to be had. It's just we have to get a little bit more creative with how we find it.
And what will that creativity include in your estimation?
Probably more, looking at different freight lanes, trucking opportunities, that maybe we don't necessarily look at, we might have to, take advantage of this year.
Turn your attention to the soybeans. What are your thoughts there?
Soybeans, it feels like, there are several on the farm. A lot of bean yields were better than maybe what guys anticipated they would be, especially later beans, were helped by some of the later rains that we received. I do think that there are beans out there to be had. It's just, what's it going to take to get them moving? When we were 17, almost $18, and now we're down to 15, it's pretty hard to get beans moving.
Which brings up the question, do you think in the new year we're going to see a basis-led rally?
Yeah, I do think that we will see basis get stronger. I do think that, for the most part, it seems like that's going to be what's going to be the motivating factor.
What else are you talking about in your shop these days?
Not much else. Christmas shopping and those types of things, it seems like, are, the conversations these days.
Why don't we go ahead then and find out what your prices are today.
Cash corn, we are $7.52. Soybeans, $14.63.
Thank you very much, Scott.
Thank you.
That's Scott Butcher, and he is with the Andersons out of Clymers, Indiana. Say, have you had a chance to subscribe to our free Ag e-newsletter? You can do that on our website. Go to willag.org. That's willag.org. And on that page, if you look to the right navigation window, you'll see a link that says subscribe to our Ag e-newsletter. Click on that and you are subscribed. It's just that easy. We bring you a letter once a week with technicals and fundamental information about the market, about the week past, and about what we think will happen in the weeks to come, all at willag.org. It's National Ambrosia Day. Not the food of the gods, but a dessert made from fruits, sugar, and grated coconut, which is most popular in the South. The earliest published recipe comes from Buckeye Cookery in 1877. On this day in agricultural history in 1893, the first U.S. patent was issued for aerial photography. The patents called for multiple aerial photographs taken automatically from different locations at a predetermined height from an unmanned stationary balloon on a tether rope to produce topographical maps. In 1900, Maria Telkis was born, a Hungarian-born American biophysicist and chemist. She was a pioneer in using solar energy in heating applications. Among other things, she developed a solar-powered stove. And in 1929, Charles Goodnight died, a cattle rancher in the American West. He is said to have devised the first chuck wagon from an army wagon in the 1850s or 1860s. It had shelves and compartments for food, equipment, utensils, and medical supplies. In addition to raising cattle, Goodnight preserved a herd of Native American bison, which survives to this day. He also crossbred buffalo with domestic cattle, which he called cattle-o. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner. Good afternoon, Drew.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Seems like the weather pattern has shifted a little bit in the U.S. with perhaps a number of storms that would have been blocked out west now maybe coming along and coming through.
Well, that's true. A good observation. I don't think that's necessarily a permanent change. What's happening here is the jet stream has split off the west coast of North America. We still have the prevailing northwesterly flow pattern bringing cold air shots into Canada and the northern U.S. plains, but we now have a southern branch of the jet, which has been more or less absent here up to this point in time, and it is producing one or two little disturbances across the southern parts of the U.S. And the hopeful part of this is that as that southern branch becomes better defined, we will send a couple of storm systems in the next week or so across the southern U.S. plains and into the heart of the Midwest. So we should end up seeing a wetter scenario developing across parts of the Ohio River Basin, the Delta, and portions of the interior southeastern states. It's still questionable whether or not we can muster up any moisture in parts of the central and southern plains for a while. But this pattern is supposed to continue to develop as we go through winter. And by the time we get to spring season, we should start seeing more frequent precipitation across the heart of the Midwest, in the sense that we could actually end up fixing some of our moisture deficits, not necessarily in the northwestern Corn Belt, but in places like Missouri to Michigan and eastward.
Turn your attention to South America, begin with Brazil, where it just looks like we keep on cooking right along, and Brazil's conditions, generally speaking, for much of the nation are ideal for crop development.
They really are. We are seeing seasonable temperatures, regular currents of rain separated by some periods of dry weather. It's really the perfect scenario. We may get a little bit too wet coming up here as we move forward through this coming week, especially late in the weekend and next week. We'll probably see some very heavy rainfall occurring in a portion of the southern parts of crop country there, probably extending from parts of Paraná and southeastern Paraguay into southern Minas Gerais, if you're familiar with those states. And those areas could get wet enough that some local flooding may end up occurring. But the rest of the country will stay in pretty darn good shape, and I don't even think that that flood situation will create any serious damage. So the crops should continue trucking right along and looking at some pretty decent production potential there.
Meanwhile, Argentina seems to be in a drying trend, and they need it because they're behind in their planting of beans and corn.
That's right, and it's been 4 months of above-average precipitation in Argentina, and it's been a very big struggle for them here recently to get the rest of their field work done. Argentina is trying desperately to go into that drying trend you just mentioned, but what's probably going to continue to happen is we're going to get a lot of feedback moisture from the soil because it's so wet. Daily temperatures in the 80s and 90s will pull that moisture out through the evaporation process, and that moisture in the atmosphere along with the daily heating into the 80s and 90s will definitely destabilize the atmosphere, and we'll still have showers and thunderstorms occurring. So it's going to be a slow process to try to get them to dry down enough to finally get the rest of planting done.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a great day.
World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner, and that is today's closing market report. This is Dave Dickey.